Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, we have a special guest joining us today. Megan has the day off, and I got to kiki with this person during the Real Housewives of Atlanta after show, and I just could not get enough of her. So please help me welcome Shamia Morton. What's going on?
And the crowd goes crazy. Hey,
what's up?
Not too much. I'm just happy to be hanging out with you again.
I know.
How's life? How have you been?
I'm good. I'm hanging out. I'm just doing my thing. I'm like hanging at home, like we're all doing pretty much. I mean, I know you just finished another round of confessionals, I heard.
Mm-hmm. Fun. Yes.
We shot the after show together and you had on this epic, like purple feathery outfit. Can you tell our listeners about that?
Yes. Well, I wore a purple, like you said, lavender royal, I would like to think, because purple always makes me feel like royalty. It was feathered dress that I got from the Ivy showroom from my stylist, Viscani. And my makeup was just really clean. I was going for Barbie feel, you know, I'm a big Barbie. Mm-hmm. As old as I am, I still love Barbie. So anytime I can get the chance to dress up and give Barbie tees, I'm so here for
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
So my makeup was done by Artistry Rebirth and Tessa, and then my nails were super fun and were done by Anita. I'm Nails on IG. So everybody, my glam was amazing. My hair, great hair by Shauna. Everybody looked out for me during that after show. And I really feel like I gave it to the people. I hope y'all were proud. Honestly, I tried to deliver.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And I was cracking up too, because when we were getting ready to start filming the after show, Portia showed up with the shorter hair. And do you remember the joke that you made?
Yeah.
You're like, is that Tamron Hall?
Baby, we are live with Tamron Hall.
Also, if I don't know if you follow this account on Instagram, but if you love Barbie, she does have like her own Instagram account, Barbie Style, and they basically run it as if she is a real person and that she's like, she used to go to Coachella, she's at red carpet events, like they run it as if she is a real, I swear to you, it's one of my favorite Instagram accounts. I say it all the time.
Why have I not known about this? I'm totally about to go follow her as soon as we get off. Like, absolutely. I got to. I'm gonna be stealing all her stuff.
We got to get her on the show. How do we do that? How do we get Barbie on the show?
Right. Well, just hello. I am her. She is me. I am Barbie.
There you go. Well, before we get started and talk about this week's episode, I want to play a little game first. And then I have a few questions for you just as like warm up before we get into the episode. So okay. I know this season of Atlanta, there's this big auntie versus niece thing going on. So I want to give you a few former cast members and you can let me know if you think they are an auntie or if they are a niece. Okay. Let's start with a recent cast member, Shamari.
Okay. Shamari is
auntie or niece.
Oh, Shamari is a niece. Funny story, you know, Shamari and I used to be in a singing group together back in the day.
Oh,
we actually went
to
the same high school. Yeah, a lot of people don't know this. We danced on the same drill team. And I grew up, Shamari's a childhood friend of mine. A lot of people don't know that. But yeah, Shamari is giving niece vibes all day long.
That's amazing.
She's such a fun girl.
Yeah, she was a lot of fun.
Yeah, she's so much fun to party with.
Okay, so Shamari is a niece. What about Phaedra?
Phaedra, I would say it depends on where she is. Mm. I hear over in Africa, she gives niece vibes.
What does she give here in Atlanta?
No, I think they're the fun girl. So I would say niece.
Okay.
/ auntie here and there.
Right, right. Kim Zolciak.
Oh, sorry. When Phaedra gave out that, when she was spreading all that misinformation back in the day about me and the Tuckers, she was a whole auntie, because that's only some auntie would do. Okay, go ahead. Now you said Kim Zolciak?
Kim Zolciak, yeah.
Oh, Kim is a niece. I love Kim. Kim is giving body, face, yeah. Glowy, just came out with a nice little swimsuit line. I mean, that's young, fun, and vibrant to me all day long. I'm here for it. Let's hang out.
Okay, this one's going a little bit further back. Lisa Wu.
Lisa Wu. That's a throwback, friend. I mean, I can't even really, I don't really know her like that.
We're talking
that's
like early seasons, right?
Is that BC?
I guess in that case, we might have to give her auntie.
We have to give her auntie just because of how old it is. It's like, is that on Blu-ray DVD?
VHS, it's VHS.
Oh, there we go. There you go. See, Blu-ray is just auntie, but VHS is great aunt.
Right. That's Nana. Okay, last one.
Gamma.
Last one,
Sheree. Sometimes the wardrobe be given auntie, but the mood is always.
Okay, I think that's fair.
She's a part-time niece.
Right. And I think we talked about this at the after show too. It does kind of depend on the circumstance and who you're with and like what's going on in that moment. Cause people can go either way.
Yeah, it's situational sometimes. Sometimes people flip-flop. It's rare that you can always give one or the other. Like if you can always give niece,
right,
you're a hell of a person. Like you can always give niece, you're an amazing
right,
woman.
That says something. Like,
I know a couple of people that can always give auntie, but if you can always give niece, that's pretty bad.
Well, before we get into the episode that aired this week, I want to ask you a couple questions just so the fans can catch up with you a little bit.
Okay.
Starting off basically with your relationship with Portia, you know, it's had its ups and downs over the years. How did you guys get back to where you are today?
Honestly, just time. It took us a minute to just get back to this place. We had a really rough season. And that's the thing about seasonal friends versus lifetime friends. Some friends are for a season, some are for a lifetime. Portia's, I would like to consider her as a lifetime friend. And with any situation or any relationship, you're going to have your hiccups, you're going to have your moments. And we did. And I thank God that we were able to get back to this place. But it wasn't easy. And even to this day, sometimes I have a moment, relapse, and I'm like, met you. And then she's like, you're right. Sorry. You know, so... I mean, I think honestly, we just kind of, it was slow. We just, let's grab a drink and I'm in the city. Where are you at? Oh, I'm in the city too. Okay, well, you want to meet up? Okay, great. And like for us, like we just vibe so well together. We're both fun people. And so when we get together, we just naturally forget all the bullshit. It's like we took our time talking about it. But just when we were together, it was just like, we never dropped off. Like it never stopped. Like we never skipped a beat.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and like you said, it takes time and time heals all wounds. So it's great to see the two of you in this place.
Time heals most wounds.
True.
Now, if she had done some real skin, like you go sleep with my husband, bitch, we never speaking again.
right. But we do draw the line somewhere.
Yeah, that's now I gotta kill you. Now I gotta Marlo you.
Well, I also want to talk about, there have been a few jokes this season about keeping track of whether Portia and Dennis are together or broken up. What about you being so close to Portia and seeing everything that they've been through in their relationship? Do you still want to see them together?
I just want to see her happy. I really just want to see her happy. At first I was rooting for Dennis and was all about it. And like, oh man, yeah. But then I started thinking, you know, we always put it out there like, you know, let your will be done. Or if it's for me, then let it manifest. But then we find ourselves praying for the wrong things. And I don't want that for her. Like if it's not for her, if he's not going to be good for her, then I want him to go. Like I want her to be with someone that genuinely loves her and she feels the same about, you know, trust is a hell of a thing.
Yeah.
And when you lose it, you just, that's it. You know, it's kind of hard to bounce back from it. So at this point, I'm just like, be happy, girl.
Yeah, absolutely. And at the end of the day too, as long as they can co-parent and keep that relationship up for their daughter, it's like, you know, Portia can find happiness in a partner somewhere else and same for Dennis.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, we don't get to see your husband very often on the show. So can you tell us like one thing that we might be surprised to learn about him?
Oh, there's so many amazing things about him. He's a really big family man. Like if, you know, on any day, you know, most guys are like, oh, I'd rather be at a bar, having a drink, doing whatever. And he really genuinely would rather have me and Shia with him like at all times. And I'm like, it's a little bit much. Like, sir, I'm going to need you to go out with your friends, go do something. Like for the pandemic, I'm like, you don't have a work trip coming up? You don't have, because he used to travel a lot. So I'm like, He's like, oh, you guys want to come with me? And I'm like, no, you can take this one on your own.
So he right.
loves family. He loves family time. And that's one of the things that just drew me close to him when we were dating. My family's all in Atlanta. We're from Atlanta, born, raised here. Even my great grandparents are from Atlanta. So him, you know, seeing that in me and me seeing that in him, I'm like, oh my gosh, like we can do this. Family's first for you, no matter what. Perfect. Let's do it. Like he, that's the thing I love about him. He's just a really big family man.
Well, then he must have absolutely loved being, you know, locked down with you so much this past year.
Yes. Oh my God. We were trying to work on baby number two. I don't know if it was the alcohol or what, but it just hasn't happened.
Oh, okay. So it's in progress.
The baby like, damn, we are, we're working on it right now. And I really want a Portia and Dennis to do it with me. Of course, I want her to get married, but I was like, y'all ready for number two?
Right, right. Just keep like
it's
timing
amazing
it.
Amazing to be able to yeah, just let's just have babies together. We stand in the line for Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny together.
That's cute. Well, I've got my fingers crossed for you, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners do as well. So baby number two, hopefully on the way.
Thank you. I know.
All right. Well, let's get into this episode. But first, I want to ask you a little bit about like a girls' trip and what it's like going into these events, you know, with people you might not know super well.
Oh, wait. Sorry. Yeah. One thing my husband absolutely, people always get this misunderstanding that my husband hates the show. That is not so. He shies away from the cameras. Like, he's just not that person. Even when we did our like wedding videos and, you know, you talk about like kind of like interview for your weddings about like, oh, are you excited to get married? For he was nervous out of his mind. He just shies away from the camera. That's not him. And so I'm always like, you know, people are always like, oh yeah, her husband hates the show. Or no, he loves the show. He's actually always pushing me to go and hang out with the girls. He's like, oh, y'all are going to, you know, Isle of Palms? Oh, perfect. Oh, I got Shia. Like, he's super supportive of it. He's like, oh, you guys are going to be here at the house? Okay, do you want me to go and hang out with my friends? You guys can have the house. Like, hands down, always supportive. So that's one thing that a lot of people that don't really know us will be shocked to hear. Like, he's all for Housewives. Sometimes I'm like, did you watch the episode? Then I'll go on, like, on Xfinity on the DVR and it'll say watch, and I'm like, yeah, his ass was up watching it last night.
That is so fun. Okay, so he's just camera shy. It's
trying
not
to make sure I didn't get caught up.
Right.
Yeah, he's just very camera shy. Like, he likes the show. He's just very camera shy.
That is so funny. Well, that's good to know. Yeah, I think our listeners will love to hear that, and fans would love to know that about him. So, I mean, maybe one day he'll overcome that and then we'll get to see a little bit more of him on the show.
Yeah, maybe. Right, exactly.
So with this girls trip that you guys took, you know, my number one question is, where did Fallon go in all of this? Because we saw her popping by, she wasn't staying with you guys, but then she kind of disappeared towards the end of all of it.
Man, you would have thought Fallon came for her own trip and just so happened to like realize we were there, so she stopped by to say hi. I was like, damn,
right,
did you come for the girls trip, or was this like you and your husband's little honeymoon or anniversary moon or something? What's going on? I was
escapade,
just very like,
yeah,
shocked. Yeah, like I don't know. For me, any chance I get to, especially with this pandemic, any chance you get to hang out with the girls and just really enjoy yourself, let your hair down, I would take it, especially not driving that long of a time just to sit in a room with your husband. Y'all could have did that at home.
Right. Right. Yeah, well, I'm sure, you know, watching these episodes and knowing everything that went down, Fallon's probably like, damn, I should have hung around with those girls a little bit more. Or maybe the opposite, who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she probably like them crazy hoes. No, no thanks.
Well, I got to ask you, you know, Cynthia learned on this trip, and especially after the dungeon night, that she is a voyeur. So what did you learn about yourself on this trip?
Well, by looking at Kenya's confessional on the show the other day, she's like, Shamia was over there waiting in the wings. I was like, hell, maybe I'm a voyeur too. Me and Cynthia both on the couch looking like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it totally could be, right? Like something that maybe you just hadn't witnessed before, and then you're seeing it for the first time and you're like, oh, okay, maybe I do like this.
Yeah, no, it was a good trip. I mean, listen, I was so here for Bolo and all of his tricks. Like, you know, I gotta be politically correct though. He don't have nothing on my husband, but he was definitely a looker for that night.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Well, I want to talk about the dinner.
Bolo was working them knees. A lot of people can't get that. Like I said on the show, like a lot of people can't get that low.
I know. I mean,
he was dropping.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of us could not do the things that Bolo did. That is for sure. So the dinner.
Okay, you said the dinner.
Yeah, the dinner at the start of the episode this week. It seems as though LaToya is seeing another side of Kenya in the way that she's pursuing this investigation. So talk a little bit about their relationship and maybe how LaToya was starting to perceive Kenya and what she was going about at the dinner.
Yeah, I honestly think LaToya was so, like, she was like, wait a minute, like, when are you going to let it go? Because at first it really was a Kiki moment. Like when we were by the pool at Al de Palm and Kenya started doing her investigation and was like, you know, where were you between the hours of boom, boom, boom? Everybody was just kind of like laughing it off, like, oh, ha, this is cute and funny and blah, blah, blah. But then it continued and it just got really uncomfortable. And it was like, so you really are doing a real investigation. Like, stop. Like, let us enjoy ourselves. It's a girls' trip. It was a bachelorette party. It's a fun night. Like, relax. And I think with Toya was just like, I've never seen the side of her. This is the side of Kenya that everybody has warned me about. And now I'm seeing it. And I honestly don't even think she knew how to like handle it. I think she was just kind of like, whoa, Kenya, like she said, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Like, stop.
Yeah.
I think it's unfortunate, like that she, you know, Kenya couldn't just let people just let it go. But, you know, Portia and Kenya don't see eye to eye at all. So guess what do we expect, you know?
Well, yeah, of course. And I mean, during this whole dinner too, what do you think was going through Portia's mind?
She kept saying, oh, she's about to roll it out for you. Just listen. She's about to tell you, because Portia knew that Kenya was coming for her. Like, she was implying that it was Portia the whole time. And she just knew that this is an attack on my character. That's why, like, I went to Portia's room and gave her and Tanya both a heads up. Like, hey, Kenya's implying that it was the two of you in the room with Bolo. She's, like, definitely real heavy on the, I know Portia's voice. And I think, it, you know, her, it was the noises were coming from that side of the hallway. And the only rooms on that side of the hallway are Portia and Candy. So surely she was basically gunning for Portia.
Yeah.
Portia, it was just really awkward and uncomfortable to watch and be a part of. And I was actually happy that Portia removed herself from it. She just got up and left, because it's like, I'm not giving you anything.
Right, right. Well, when she got up to walk away, it reminded me of last season's Beverly Hills with the whole Denise Richards, like, bravo, bravo, fucking bravo, like, I'm walking away. You know, I was like, that is Portia's way of just being like, I am disengaging. I'm not talking about this anymore. I'm out. Yes. And I was proud of her for doing that, because and I understand why she might feel that way, because, you know, regardless of what really happened or what's true or not, it's sort of like, you know, it's kind of breaking girl code. Like, the cameras were down, we weren't filming. Like, why are we talking about this, you know?
And we asked, can we have a night? Like, are we done? Are we ready? Because we kind of just want to hang out, enjoy each other, really get to know each other, and then get to know Bolo.
Right. Yes.
You know, I just, you know, it's kind of like when you think you're in your room and you think you have your private moments, like who, we didn't really, you know, it's like, you come back and you say, oh, we got this on camera, this audio of you. It's like, wait a minute, but I cleared it with you. I thought you said I thought we were off. I didn't think we were still, I definitely think we'd be judged. Kind of giving slut shaming and like a little judging to me.
Right.
Amongst the group.
Yeah. Now, Tanya says that she was in Portia's room the whole night. So some people are saying that's placing her at the scene of the crime. But for her, was that her way of being like, this is my out? Like, I had nothing to do with what was going on because I wasn't even there.
All I know is that I spent the night in this girl's room.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Poor Tanya, you put yourself at the scene of the crime. Kenya didn't even say your name.
I think I heard multiple women's voices, and I
heard a man.
I know Portia's voice. I know it was her in the room. And Tanya admitted to being in the room with Portia. Case closed.
Yeah, for Tanya, she's like, we were just being girls, like having a sleepover, eating snacks all night, and just hanging out, like in Portia's room. It was nothing more. And so instead of somebody being like, okay, so where was Bolo? They're still like just gunning for them. They could, my thing is the question should be where Bolo could have been in anywhere in that house. Like, why do we automatically put him in the room with Portia and Tanya?
That's a great point. Yeah, I don't think people are really talking about that. Maybe Bolo wasn't even in that room.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, coming back from the trip, I loved watching Cynthia and Mike discuss the events because Mike just had a really good sense of humor about it. And he was like throwing the water bottle around and like dancing with Cynthia and everything. And it was a really cute moment between them.
Yes.
For you, when you got back, how much did you share with your husband about what happened?
Oh, everything. Yeah. That's one thing I love about my husband. He knows that I'm like a fun girl. He knows I like to have a good time. Like, I'm the girl that's going to go out on a dance floor at the club. And if he doesn't feel like dancing, I'm going to probably dance with somebody else. Like, not in a sexual way necessarily, but we might just start twerking. I mean, we're going to have fun. I'm going to have fun, period. And I've always been that way. And that's why I was like, you know, even with just talking to him about the party, I was like, it was a bachelorette party. We partied hard. Like, I didn't twerk on Bolo, but I watched a lot of twerking. You know, I did twerk some. But I didn't get to necessarily touch up on his Bolo.
Well, what did your husband think of the whole thing? Was he just like, oh, it's just girls being crazy? I mean, what did he think?
He just laughed. He's like, oh, good. He's like, oh, great, babe. I'm glad you guys had fun. Good for you. I was like, okay, good. Thank you, babe. You know, he's like, yeah, you know, it was a girls trip. That's what you guys are supposed to have. It's a bachelorette party. Did Cynthia enjoy herself? He was worried about whether the bride got her groove on. She was able to party and have her fun. I'm like, yeah, well, Cynthia's a voyeur now.
Right. Well, it's true. I mean, it was for Cynthia. And now I think the next day it became about something completely different. And everyone's like, well, did anyone
something so crazy.
Yeah. Like, did anyone even ask Cynthia if she had fun? You know, like, I hope she did. She definitely did.
Right. Like, why are we even, it just became like, who turns a fun moment like that into something so crazy and dark? Like,
yeah.
And I know Kenya's all about just trying to get, you know, I mean, if they don't like each other. So any moment that she can get back at Portia is going, she's going to take advantage of it, of course.
Right. Well, and we see her kind of explain that to LaToya when LaToya brings her the cake at the photo shoot Kenya's at. And they talk a little bit about, you know, why Kenya was pursuing things so much. And she does bring up things that Portia has done in the past. So is this Kenya's way of
revenge?
Yeah. Like, it seemed like they have moved on. Yeah, but it seemed like they had moved on. So I'm just so confused as to why it's become this thing again.
I definitely thought so. I thought that they had like squashed all drama. But I was telling everybody when we were pregnant together, they were so cool. Like, we were sending gifts at Kenya's house. Like, Portia was like sending gifts for Kenya's baby. And Kenya and I would text back and forth about things, symptoms of pregnancy that we were experiencing. And like, we really had developed this friend group, you know? So I'm like, damn, do we all need to get pregnant again to get that back?
Right.
I'm like, what's wrong? Right. Got to just stay pregnant. But it was like, it's just kind of sad because I thought what we had was a genuine friendship at that moment.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm mistaken. Because, yeah, it switched up.
Now, we also see Drew stop by Portia's and they have a whole conversation about where, you know, Portia and Dennis are at this point and a little bit into, you know, Drew and her marriage to Ralph. And we see Ralph call Drew and she kind of tells a little white lie about her whereabouts. Have you ever done like a little white lie to your husband when he's like, oh, are you coming home? And you're like, oh, yeah, I'm on my way. But you're actually like stopping by Portia's or something.
Hey, babe.
Hey, are you still at the store?
I have gone to the store and I am heading back.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Where are you now?
I just had to make a quick stop, but I have the groceries, so I'm heading back now. I will be home. Everything good?
Everything is good. Just waiting on you.
Okay, I'll see you in a minute.
All right, cool.
Love you. Bye.
So the white lies I have are like, babe, are you on the way yet? Yep, getting off the exit. And I'm like two exits away.
Right.
Like, but I don't know if I've gone so far as to say, yep, I'm en route. And I'm like still going to make a whole nother stop. That's kind of, unless the stop is like at a drive-thru through Chick-fil-A or something. It's like, no.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm really on my way.
Drew was pretty posted up at Portia's. I think they were having mimosas. Like, she didn't seem like she was in a rush to get anywhere. So,
and then, and she, And she was like, Rob was like, so did you get the groceries? Have you already left the store? And she's like, yeah. He's like, so you're on the way home? In a minute. I was like, oh, okay, get his ass back, girl, for Tampa.
Right.
You better.
Right. Oh my God.
Leave him guessing.
Yes, uh-huh. Absolutely. So I'd love your thoughts on that too, because it's come up a few times this season. You know, early on in the first couple episodes, I think so many fans and viewers were watching, like, what is going on with Ralph? What is this all about? He disappeared for a few days, but he was spying on her through the nanny cams or whatever they were that they had. And so what are your thoughts on this whole Tampa trip that he took?
Let me just say that it couldn't be me. It could not happen in the Mwangi household. Because you take your ass somewhere for 3 days, the locks will be changed when you get back and your shit will be out on the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
No. Not happening. You're not going nowhere for 3 days and not tell me, not check in with me, not. No, you're not even going nowhere for 3 hours.
Right.
Babe, where are you? I know you left at 12. It's 3 now. Are you okay? I need to know what's what. No, it's just respect. You know, the respect in a marriage, like in a friendship, in a partnership. Respect me enough to not leave me worrying about where you are, who you with, what you're doing.
Yeah.
He could have been dead on a doorstep. You know, it's just so much with going on in the world. Just, I thought that was very selfish around.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it also comes down to communication and the importance of that in a relationship, because if he did need a break or time away, or he was feeling stressed or he was emotional about something, it's like, that is fine. You're allowed to feel how you want to feel, but at least just tell me that you're feeling a type of way and that you need a break. Don't just up and disappear for 3 days. That's crazy.
I feel like Drew is a very supportive and understanding wife. It seems that way. I don't know for sure because I'm not in her household. But what I can say, she's a very good communicator in the friend group and our group of girls. And I feel like she wants to understand people and get to know them individually. So in her marriage, I can't see it being any less. So I feel like Raph had just come to her and said, hey, babe, I need some time, some me time. We're gonna figure this out. I'm going to take a couple of days and just dip off to Tampa. I'm staying at the whatever place. And, please just give me this time to myself. And if you really, really need to reach me, here's where I'm staying. Here's the number. You know, you're a married man. You got to do that kind of stuff. Then I think it would have been okay. But no, I don't like it. No, not at all. It's not gonna fly over here.
Well, at the end of the episode, we see Kenya dealing with this divorce situation with Mark. And, you know, for a lot of viewers and Megan and my co-host on the show, we've talked a lot about Mark coming across as very irrational, but Kenya explains that filing the divorce papers was really just a tactical move. And so it's interesting to see her almost defend him in some ways. So having seen Kenya go through this marriage and now her baby, and then her relationship kind of falling apart with Mark, like, what has it been like from your perspective? Like, do you feel for Kenya? What are you thinking?
With her fallout with Mark, it's really sad. I never... You know, you don't want to see a single mom, single household. It'd be great if Brooklyn can grow up with both parents, but it doesn't always work out that way. And ultimately, Kenya deserves happiness just like the rest of us. Like, she is a great mom. And just to see her duke it out with him ask this, just like last night, him asking, or this past week's episode, him asking for, what was it, maintenance fees?
Essentially,
what the hell are you talking about, Mark?
Yes. He filed for divorce
in
New York,
and he's asking for alimony from you.
No, he's not.
You're not even asking for your child. Like, what? No, I didn't think that was cool, and I think Kenya deserves better.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting too, because she talks about him sending her all of this music, which, fun fact, the song that he sent her was Need You Bad by Jasmine Sullivan. I don't know if you're a Jasmine Sullivan
gosh.
Fan, but I love her. And it's off of her very first album.
I need you. No, you can't send Jasmine, baby. Don't even put Jasmine in this foolishness.
Yes.
Because you're not even, no. Like, I didn't like that at all. Like, you would have made this whole playlist of his love songs, R&B songs, real sexy, got me feeling all vulnerable. Then you try and dig into my purse and steal money. No.
Right. Right.
No. Where do they do that? No. That, what man does that? Like, no, that's not.
It just seems all over the place.
Yeah, I don't think it's cool. And it is like, what do you want from me? Like, do you want to love me or do you just, what's going on? What are we doing? We're married. Like, we have a beautiful daughter together. Like, you are coming after alimony. Mm-mm. Should be fighting for your marriage, if not for your marriage, for your child.
Well, right. And I think the confusing part for everyone too is Kenya talks a little bit about how they hadn't really decided where they were in their relationship at this point. It's like there are divorce papers, there are these alimony things, there's all sorts of stuff happening between them and they're in different places. And it just is like, to know that they haven't even really talked about, like, do we want to be together? Are we going to move forward
right.
as a partnership, as a couple? You know, it's just like, you got to have that conversation before you're filing paperwork, right? Like, doesn't that make sense?
I mean, picture this. Picture Kenya cooking Brooklyn breakfast, right? And she's listening to these love songs and feeling all warm and fuzzy. Like, oh, we might be able to make it work. And then gets hit over the head with damn divorce papers. And like,
right.
And maintenance fees. Maintenance for what? Mark has never spent, out of Kenya's mouth, Kenya said that Mark has never spent one night with Brooklyn. Not one night
right.
alone with Brooklyn. She's had Brooklyn every night of Brooklyn's life. What do you need maintenance for?
Yeah, exactly. What is that for?
What is it for? And you're in New York. I'm here in Atlanta. So what help me understand. I think it's horrible. I hate that she's going through this.
Yeah because at the end of the day it's not just Kenya who suffers, it's Brooklyn, you know, and that's not fair.
Yeah, and I hate that. I hate to see the kids suffer.
All right, well, why don't we move on to some of the other shows that are on Bravo right now. I want to get your perspective on Real Housewives of New Jersey and the situation we have at hand there. So Shamia, are you caught up on anything Jersey? Have you seen anything in the blogs about what's been going on with Teresa and Jackie?
No. What's going on?
I'm going to explain the situation to you. And then you can let me know if you were in Jackie's shoes, what would you do? So basically the big drama on the season of Jersey right now is that Teresa Giudice, who I'm sure you know, mm-hmm. she went around in the premiere episode and started talking about how she heard a rumor that Jackie's husband was having an affair. He was doing something when he went to the gym. There was something unfaithful happening in their marriage. She talked about this at his birthday party. So she went around to different tables and friends and started saying, you know, I hear that Evan's cheating on her. What's the stuff I hear about what he does at the gym? Cut to Jackie finds out about this. Here's all about how Teresa was saying this at Evan's birthday party. And when she finally confronts Teresa, she doesn't really get through to her. She kind of is asking Teresa, like, why would you say this? And why are you spreading the rumor? Teresa's like, I didn't spread a rumor. It's just something that I heard. Jackie's like, but you told all these people at the party. So then what Jackie does is she tries to make an analogy. And she says to Teresa,
okay, well, you know what? I heard that Gia snorts coke in the bathroom at parties, okay? I heard it. I don't know where I heard it from. I mean, I heard from somebody.
You're a f***ing bitch.
I mean, but it's the same thing. So how is that not the same f***ing?
Now you're
f***ing. How is not the same
f***ing? Go f*** yourself.
How is not the same f***ing you?
You're a f***ing
And that sets Teresa off the handle. Teresa freaks out, storms out, curses at her. Cusses at her, not curses, cusses her out. Cuss her out. And so that is essentially the big main drama that's going on here. So Jackie, you know, at this point is having to defend herself, saying, well, I was making an analogy. I wasn't saying that Gia actually does coke. It was just me trying to make you understand what I was going through and what my family was going through by having this rumor perpetuated. So all that being said, what are your thoughts on that drama?
Oh my goodness. Even now I'm damn mad. Like, here's my thing. My problem with it. I don't care how old these babies get. They're still our babies, right? And the babies are off limits. Use another analogy. Don't do that. Because when you put stuff out there, it takes fire and it just goes off, and now we got a big the forest is on fire. No, now we got Smokey Bear coming in. See, no, you did too much. You went too far. I get what you were trying to do. You were trying to help me see, but that's not the way to do it. Don't bring my child in. And definitely don't put that type of accusation on her. Drugs in the back. Stop. No, no. Now, see, that's, she did right. She was pissed and rightfully so. I would have been too.
Right, right.
Not cool.
So that is the fallout that everyone is kind of dealing with. And in this episode, a bunch of the women are away on this, you know, trip to Lake George. Jackie does not go because she stays behind to deal with the fallout from the rumor with, you know, her own family and dealing with Evan. And she doesn't want to be right around Teresa, which is understandable, you know, because Teresa was the one to start it. Mm-hmm. But like, to your point, you know, Jackie didn't quite finish it in the right way. And that's not the way to get through to someone by bringing up the kids.
You can't get through to somebody like that. No, not the kids. She should have used somebody, her husband, somebody else, a sister, an uncle, auntie. You don't use my child. Don't bring my child up by anything unless you're trying to tell me how amazingly blessed and talented and beautiful she is. Don't bring her up, period.
Kids are off limits. Okay, well, I want to run another situation by you that's happening in this episode. So Jennifer Aiden has been given a bone. Okay, so you know how this goes. This happens all the time on Housewives. Somebody is given a piece of information. Now, rather than bringing that information to the person that it's about, do you take that to other people and get their perspective on whether it's true or not, or if they've heard it too? Or when you get that information, is it best to bring it right to the person? Because Jen has learned that apparently Melissa Gorga's husband owes tens of thousands of dollars to another man.
Oh.
And Jen has not yet brought this to Melissa Gorga's attention. Oh. Instead, Jen is asking Dolores. She's checking in with other people. Like, oh, you know, I have this information. What should I do?
She told me about Joe owing her husband money.
So my husband and Joe were working on this event. And Joe didn't pay my husband.
Well, how much technically do you think he owes your husband?
Tens of thousands. Like, wow.
What happens when you get a bone?
No, if we're friends, you bring the bone right to the source and you check it and we figure it out. You don't you dare go and spread it to anybody. Because now you're adding to the rumor mill. Like you're spreading the, you yourself are spreading this rumor about me and you're making it worse. No, you don't take it to anybody else. You bring it straight to me and you ask me about it if you're my real friend and I'll tell you yay, nay, you know, whatever about it, and you let it go. Like you taking it to everybody else, girl, you're just as bad. You might as well have started, you should have started the damn rumor yourself.
Right.
With the way
right.
You're egging it on, you fueling or what they call it, you are fanning the flames.
Fanning the flames. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no.
Okay, so yeah, Jen has been given this bone. She has not brought it to Melissa yet, but hopefully she can get into a place where she's ready to talk to her. The two of them have not been on the best terms. They fought a few times in previous seasons. They've just really started to come around to each other. So I do think Jen has some reservations about going directly to Melissa because she doesn't want, you know, don't shoot the messenger. She doesn't want to be the one
right
to be like, well, who did you hear this from? Like, why are you telling people? But that being said, she's already gone and kind of mentioned it to at least one other person in this episode. So it's questionable.
Yeah, you can't do that. Not if we're supposed to be friends. Anything that could ruin me, my reputation, hurt my family, or anybody should not be repeated.
Right, right. Just get right to it. Bring that bone.
And that's kind of what we're dealing with now.
Yeah.
Like, just with the drama around the whole Bolo situation.
Right.
Okay, fine. It was a kiki moment. But now you've involved vlogs and, you know, just it's too much. Now you're judging and slut shaming and it just become too much.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, my other question for you when it comes to Real Housewives of New Jersey is, you know, with Teresa and everyone's trying to get through to her at this point in Lake George and explain to her, Jackie was making an analogy. You were the one who upset her first. Like, can you just apologize for what you did and find a way to come back together and find some peace? And Teresa is very adamant about, I don't want anything to do with her. She said that my daughter did coke and everyone's like, no, it was an analogy. Like, you know, Jackie's not going to come around the group anymore if you don't help to make this right. And it does seem like in some ways, Teresa feels like the rules are different for her. And I'm so curious your perspective on this. Do you think Teresa might feel this way because she has OG status on the show? I mean, she is literally a day one Jersey housewife in some ways.
Yeah, does... Claire. And she was like, how dare you?
Yeah, exactly.
Me?
So do you think that plays into the drama at all? Like a hierarchy almost?
I do. Yeah, like, I think Teresa's like, you need to put some respect on my name, bitch. Like, who are you? You're new to this. Like, you know, I'm a day one player. Kind of like, I'm a boss, you know? And how dare you come for me and my family? Like, you need to learn some respect. Like, almost like you need to respect your elders.
Right.
I was giving that same tease that Nene used to give. Mm-hmm. You know how Nene used to be like, I'm the boss, bitch.
And, yeah.
You know? That's kind of what I think Therese is giving right now.
Right. And I think the other women are trying to get through to her, but she's just got this wall up and she's convinced that, you know, Jackie's not as strong, as confident. So I think there could be a little bit of ego at play there at the end of the day. But, you know, it's kind of understandable being, 11 seasons in now. I mean, she has been through so much on the show. It's like,
I earned the right to be this way. Like, she's damn near like, I'm your employer.
Right.
2021 is looking up, which means there should be plenty of new opportunities for you to grow your business. Whether you're shifting business hours or hiring more remote employees, one thing that remains unchanged is the importance of having the right people on your team. When you're ready to make that next hire, LinkedIn Jobs can help by matching your role with qualified candidates so that you can find the right person quickly. And to lend a helping hand, your first job post is free. LinkedIn is an active community of professionals with more than 30 million members in the UK. And now you can do this all from your mobile device, no matter where the day takes you. That's how LinkedIn Jobs can help you hire the right person faster. When your business is ready to make that next hire, find the right person with LinkedIn Jobs. And now you can post a job for free. Just visit linkedin.com/reach. Again, that's linkedin.com/reach to post a job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
The show is here for you because of me.
Right. You got your job because of me, darling. I'm the reason.
Well, that's awesome. Okay. Well, now I would love to get into a little bit of Summer House with you because Summer House is, you know, it used to be a show where a bunch of friends rented a house. They would come every weekend into the Hamptons, hang out, drink, party, whatever, go back to the city during the week, live their regular lives. Now, because of COVID, this past summer, they had to stay in the house and live and all work together for 6 weeks. So it's like Big Brother style. There's nowhere to go, right? Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's stressful even just thinking about.
Right? I mean, that's a lot of people and time and not a lot of space.
Yes. Oh, y'all gotta all live in the same house during COVID, during this pandemic? Oh, Lord, no.
They are all together and they're not allowed to leave. Like, they all just have to stay all the time. They're all essentially quarantined together. What's interesting about this and this season is Luke, who's kind of this very tall, blonde, handsome man from Minnesota, you know, kind of got a lumberjack vibe, but he's also just like, you know, a model. So he's just like, he's really kind of just, you know, you look at him and you're like, I like what I see, you know, for sure. But he had a little bit of a thing with Hannah, who has been on the show for a couple of years. They had a thing last summer, never official, never boyfriend, girlfriend. They've never also had sex. I will note that. But they've done other things. Yeah, they've never had sex, but they have done other things. No P and V is really what the word, you know, no P and V.
What's P and V? Maybe I'm lame. What does that mean?
No, like, no penis in vagina. They've never had like actual sexual intercourse.
Oh, I like that. Okay. Couple of conilingus and fellatio here and there. Okay.
Right. Yeah, here and there a little bit. So that happened with them last summer. This summer, Luke brings his friend Sierra to the house, who is also a model.
Oh,
she's beautiful. She is a nurse. So she's like a good person on top of being beautiful. He brings her to the house to quarantine with everyone. And lo and behold, last summer when Luke had his thing with Hannah, Luke was also in contact with Sierra. They were talking on the phone. They would FaceTime. They would text. They had been friends for several years prior. So this is this is news to Hannah.
So the nurse and him were already friends prior to him meeting.
Exactly. Hannah. Yes. For about a year, I think, before.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay.
But he brings her to the house summer with this expectation where he's a little bit pursuing Sierra. He wants to remain friends with Hannah, but Hannah and Sierra never knew about each other prior to them now being in the same house together. So do you see where this could cause some problems?
Yeah, Lucas seeming a little sneaky with it. Because if one is just a friend, then we should know about each other. We should have even met by now. Like, yeah.
Right.
It's giving sneaky vibes to me.
Right. It's a little bit of the, he wants his cake and to eat it too. You know, like he wants the best of all worlds.
Yeah, it's making me feel like, Luke, you want us to be sister wives.
That could be what he's after. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what his like religious denomination is.
Yeah, we both in the same house together now. No, Luke, you ain't, no.
Luckily, I don't think Hannah or Sierra are down for that because they're both kind of catching on to this sort of player game that he has between the two of them. So
yeah,
that is all coming to a head at this point. Now, something else that's interesting happening on Summer House is Hannah, who I had mentioned to you, she is friends with this girl, Amanda. Amanda and Kyle are engaged to be married. They've been on the show together for years. Kyle is, you know, blonde, handsome, just kind of a bro-y dude, like very into throwing like themed parties for his birthday, like 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40. He's like going to be 40 soon, but still into themed parties. So just to give you an idea of who Kyle is. So Kyle and
sounds like a fun guy.
Yeah. So Kyle and Amanda engaged to be married. They've had their ups and downs. Kyle has, you know, sort of cheated on Amanda in the past. She has always taken him back in these instances. They've been through a lot of rough patches, very publicly on the show, all of that. Mm-hmm. With all of these people living in the same house, Hannah's job is to take out the trash every day, every week, whatever it may be that you have to do. She's not doing a very good job at that. She's kind of leaving it in the corner.
Hannah?
Yeah, she's not really pulling her weight, literally, by taking the trash out.
Why is a woman taking out the trash anyway?
That is a good, she volunteered for the job. I will say that much. She was like, my job can be trash.
Okay. I'm like,
but that is a good point. It should be one
girl,
of the men.
Girl, sound like you might need to take out all your trash. You take out Luke too, child.
That is true. That is good. Yeah. So Hannah has not been pulling her weight, taking out the trash. Kyle calls her out for it. And this argument very quickly escalates into him kind of yelling at Hannah, Hannah getting upset about it, and then telling Kyle, listen, I'm not Amanda. I'm not your fiance. You can't just yell at me the way that you yell at Amanda. And ooh. Amanda is like, well, damn, like, why do you keep coming for my relationship?
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So how would you deal with someone like Hannah if you had a friend who just kept coming for your relationship in these tiny digs when they were upset?
Well, I'll tell you this. When I first started dating my husband, I had a friend who we've been friends. Most of my friends are almost like childhood friends. We've been friends for years and years. And I people were telling me, oh, she's jealous. And she's a little envious of your relationship. You need to watch her. But I never took heed to it. I never listened to them until she showed me herself. She'd started like spreading this rumor that my husband could possibly have wives in Africa and all over. And I was just like, girl, what? Yes, 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 yes. Sometimes you have to let these people go. Sometimes they're dead weight and they don't mean well for your relationship because they're jealous or they're miserable themselves or they wish they had what you have. So in that situation, I don't know. I'm gonna have to tell Amanda, girl, you might want to deal with Hannah with a long handled spoon because she's already dealing with Nurse Hottie over here. And
yep.
Just not really. Yeah. And Luke with his fine ass, he know how to play to both of them. So it's kind of like, she's a little jealous. Like, man, damn, Amanda, you got Kyle, y'all are engaged. You guys are moving forward in your relationship. And I'm sitting over here trying to figure out what I'm doing with my man and his nurse.
Yeah.
You know, I think like, you know, sometimes you got to cut people off. And I just think about it like this, like, imagine had I listened to this friend of mine, so-called friend of mine, or just let her weigh down on my relationship. I would have missed out on the good man, all because of her miserable ass and her miserable life.
Wow. I think that's a pretty good read on the situation, having not, you know, seen all of this play out. I think you pretty much nailed it.
Oh, thank you.
Words of wisdom from Shamia, everybody.
Shamia the Great.
Shamia the Great. So I spoke with Summer House's Sierra Miller about whether she was nervous coming into this season, how she comforted Carl over the loss of his brother, and of course, her relationship with Luke. Here's that interview. All right, guys, we are here with Sierra Miller, the newest cast member of Summer House. What's going on, Sierra?
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, just trying to keep warm in New York.
I know. We feel you. So first season of Summer House, were you nervous going into the house not knowing anyone but Luke?
Absolutely. Yeah. Nervous is like an understatement. I think I was shaking in my heels before we walked in the house. But no, I was just concerned. Like, are these people going to like me? Are they going to hate me? Or am I going to get along with the girls? Like,
right.
I mean, we're stuck in the house for 6 weeks together. So if it didn't go well, I was pretty much f***ed.
There's nowhere to go. I mean, it's true because previous seasons, it's been just the weekends and everyone goes back to the city during the week and you get time away from each other. But I absolutely love the format of this season because there's nowhere to hide.
Yeah, literally. There's nowhere to go. You get your room. And that's pretty much it.
So you've known Luke for quite some time. Can you give us a refresher on how the two of you met initially a few years ago?
Yeah, so we met at a modeling event in passing and kind of just like exchanged social medias. And then we just stayed in contact via social media over the past like couple years. And then it was like a random summer. Like I had like graduated from college, broke up with my ex-boyfriend, and I guess he broke up with his ex-girlfriend. I was like trying to like take a trip somewhere and he's like, why don't you come to Minnesota? And I was like, I'm not going to spend my vacation in Minnesota. Like, I was like, are you crazy? That sounds horrible. And he ended up convincing me and I was like, okay, fine, I'll go. So I went and honestly, like Minnesota was a beautiful state and it was a great time. And it was honestly a really good vacation. It's very like you would underestimate how amazing Minnesota is if you
right.
been, but yeah, it's fun and it's beautiful.
Well, sometimes when you go in with lower expectations, you're pleasantly surprised by the experience, right?
Exactly. That's exactly what it was.
Well, I want to get some of the first impressions that you had of the housemate. So I just want to run through a couple people, some couples, some pairings, essentially. First impression, Kyle and Amanda.
Kyle is a lot. he seemed like a little like he was like, whoa, what's going on? As soon as we walked in the house. No, but he was super friendly. Amanda seemed really sweet at first, and she's still really sweet. She's lived up to her, her first impression. Yeah.
What about Hannah and Paige?
Hannah was a lot too. She was, I mean, like we started talking about cats right off the bat. So
that's like, right.
There was kind of a bond there. Paige, I was like, okay, she's like in her cute little two-piece, like lounging, but still put together. I'm like, okay, just like feeling out the vibes on her.
What about Lindsay and Steven?
Lindsay, I'm still trying to get to know. You know, I think she's such a layered individual.
Yeah.
But I could kind of tell like her and Stravi was honestly really welcoming too. Everyone was so welcoming. I will say that. Like, I didn't feel like I was an outsider when I first walked in. I will say, I mean, like I got the gist of Lindsay and Stravi the first couple days and I was like their next door neighbor. So I could.
Oh, okay. So you got like a first row seat to what was going on with them. Okay, well, that's good because I do want to talk about, you know, what happened with them and the birthday dinner and everything. So we'll get into that.
Okay.
One last first impression, Carl.
Oh my God, so sweet. Just so cute. So cute and so sweet. Like, and Carl feels just like, I don't know. He's just very welcoming and I don't know. I always say he's like the heartbeat of the house.
Aw, he would love that. We're going to make sure he hears that. Well, we do see, you know, a few episodes ago, you sit down with Hannah and Luke, and there's this tense conversation. Did your perception of Luke change after that initial conversation with the three of you, which everybody else was kind of witnessing in the background?
Yeah, I didn't necessarily like the way that he was speaking to Hannah. I feel like I've just been, I mean, he told me, you know, some of the details, not all. Mm-hmm. I want to know all the details, but like,
right.
I'm coming into a house. I know you've hooked up with this girl. Okay, I know A, B, and C. Okay, but like when we're like comparing notes over the last summer before I came to the house and this summer, like timelines are pretty much identical. So, well, we came to the couch knowing that the timelines were identical and conversation kind of went south because people just started getting super defensive and then Hannah started crying and it was just like, I don't know. I was uncomfortable and my perception of him did change because I was like, I feel like you could have handled this differently or could have been more gentle.
Right.
You know, with the delivery, but that's not what happened. So,
well, and I thought it was really funny. You have a great interview moment where you're like, why is nobody intervening? Like, somebody step in. Doesn't anyone else have an opinion about this? Like, did you sitting there, were you expecting like maybe Paige or someone, you know, to just kind of, if not rescue you, but maybe have Hannah's back or something?
I mean, yeah, this house, we all butt in on each other's shit. I'm like, why now? Oh, everybody wants to be quiet now.
Right.
Okay. Like, all right, I see you. I'm going to remember this.
Right. You're like, I'm going to keep my mouth shut next time somebody yells at one of you, okay?
Right.
In last week's episode, we got to meet your mom via FaceTime, and I know that she's also a nurse. So can you tell us more about how she inspired you to work in healthcare?
My mom basically forced me into it.
Got it.
My mom filled out my nursing school application. She dragged me to the open house and was like, this is what you're going to do. And I was like, yeah, okay. Yeah, right. Because I was convinced at that time, I was like, yeah, I'm going to take a year off from school and I'm just going to like focus on modeling, blah, 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 blah. And she was like, okay, yeah, but you cannot live at home and do that. So if you want to move out, like, be my guest. I was like, okay, wait a minute. Let me rethink that plan. And so that's when she's like, here, let's just go to this open house, feel it out. And then I ended up loving the open house. And I was like, okay, I'll go to nursing school. But like, honestly, my mom did not really give me any pointers on what to expect at all.
Yeah.
At all. She was like, I just want, and at the end, after I graduated, I was like, that was rough. She's like, I know. Yeah, that's how my experience was too. But she just really wanted me to have my own opinion and experience through it all. And she was like, I didn't want her opinions to influence me. So,
well, she probably didn't want to scare you away either, right? She already got you signed up and involved. So she wasn't going to be like, listen, this is going to be tough as hell, Sierra. Okay. Like that would have scared you away.
Yeah, definitely. But she definitely, I mean, my mom is a tough worker. She is a, like, she, I don't know how she did it because she went through nursing school when she was pregnant with me. So she had my sister, she was pregnant with me. And I was like, I don't even know how you got through nursing school, like with two kids and a husband. I was like, all I have to do is feed the cat and I'm struggling. Like,
right.
How did you
feed
do
the cat and feed yourself?
Literally. Yeah, that's it. And like, and I'm poor. I can't even pay for gas. Like, how did you do this with two kids and a husband? I don't get it.
I know. Moms just, they're impressive.
They are. She figured it out and she never lets me forget it.
Now, there's a real dichotomy between nursing and modeling. So I'm so curious, what do you love about each and what frustrates you the most about each?
Oh, frustration part. I could go on. So what do I love about modeling? You get to know so much of yourself. And even though it can be like kind of self-centered, it's very challenging. Like because you're the muse, you're trying to make a product look the best as it can. And
yeah,
it's not easy. It's kind of hard trying to learn yourself and like what looks best on camera. And I don't know. I like that challenge. The most frustrating thing about modeling, I would say, is that maybe other people's perception of it. Because honestly, I don't necessarily lead ever. I don't ever tell people. I mean, I worked at my past hospital for like a year and a half, and nobody knew that that's like what I did on the side.
Right.
Just because it has the, like, people perceive that as me being like full of myself or just
superficial.
Yeah. And that's all I have to offer. Like, I obviously want people to know, like, yes, I also have a brain too, but people kind of think that you can only have one or the other.
Right. Exactly.
But nursing, I love the critical thinking. That's why I went into critical care. I love, like, you kind of get to be the difference between not life or death, but like you can make a difference in that situation sometimes. And
yeah.
While the inevitable is always there, death, you know, it's always nice to have a part in potentially saving a life. And, you know, yeah, it's just the skills that go behind it. I love it. It's also another challenging thing.
Absolutely. Well, especially in this past year. I mean, I can't even imagine. And thank you for all the work that you did through this pandemic, because without healthcare workers, I mean, it's just, I don't know what we would look like right now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's like, pandemic or not, like, we were doing the same thing before and continuing to do it now. And I know, obviously,
right,
we've never been through a pandemic, and what a crazy thing to get to say that I've worked in, but
truly
it's been like a humbling experience as well. But the frustrating thing about nursing is that, like, in the ICU in particular, it's like emotionally taxing, mentally taxing. And some days you're just like, why am I even doing this? Like, you know, sometimes, I mean, fate takes over no matter what. And I wholeheartedly believe we're not the ultimate deciders. And sometimes it's like, no matter what you do, you know, there's a bigger plan in place, and we can't even,
right,
can't intervene in that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's very profound. It's very profound, Sierra. I know this week's episode also starts off on a very sad note with the news about Carl's brother, but we do see you have this really touching conversation with him. And I think it touches on a little bit of what you were just saying now, this sort of, you know, divine intervention, this larger picture, this ultimate decider. So talk about having that conversation with Carl, and given your experience in nursing and everything, why you felt compelled to talk to him.
This always makes me like so tearful, because I mean, I hate to see the people that I love, you know, hurt. And that was like,
yeah.
And full disclosure, I didn't even know this was being recorded. So it's like surveillance everywhere.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Death sucks. But, you know, the reality, there's still the reality of death. And although it sucks, you know, it's still present. You have to get through it. And there's nothing I could ever say that would bring his brother back, that was going to make him feel better in that moment. It's just, I feel like you have to find comfort in the fact that, and because he struggled with drug addiction, like, there's a lot of comfort in knowing that his struggles are no longer, and that he's been passed on to, like, the Lord or whatever you believe in. You know, I find a lot of comfort in knowing that, you know, there's more to life than just the physical earth. And it's hard being, like, I feel like I've been in a lot of situations with death, obviously, and comforting families, but death is harder on the living than the dying or the deceased. You know, you don't have to worry anymore. I find so much comfort in that. Like, I don't have to worry where you're going to be at, what you're doing, you know, if you're harming yourself, you know. And like, I don't know. I just wanted to make him feel better, but you still have to deal with the reality of him not being there. So I don't like to fill people with fluff, you know?
Right. So,
but I definitely believe that even though they were at odds, you know, I think his brother loved him, and he loved his brother, and he knows that. And that's his brother. That's something that will never change. Unfortunately, we make mistakes on this earth, and we don't necessarily nurture the relationships that we should. And there are fights and arguments and whatever, but I feel like deep down people know how you feel about them. And sometimes we're foolish and we don't necessarily say the words to match, but
yeah. No, absolutely. And I think Carl really did appreciate how everyone in the house stepped up and was there for him and so supportive in this moment. And as a viewer, as fans of the show, and we've seen Carl go through so much already, and everyone loves his mom, and you know, we all kind of grieve with him in a way. Oh, yeah, and it was very emotional to watch. And, you know, so it was really touching to see how everyone in the house rallied around him in that moment. And like you said, you know, it's not going to bring his brother back, but you need to find those moments and those places where you can try to give Carl some peace.
Yeah. And to think that he, like, this story and everything that his brother went through and Carl's went through with his brother, I'm sure somebody somewhere can relate. Even I could relate, because I was like, I mean, like, my situation with my sister is not like ideal. We were not on speaking terms over the summer and hadn't spoken in over a year, but I
really,
yeah. And so, like, we could identify on that same level with Carl. And honestly, I took from that, I was like, okay, I need to figure out a way to talk to my sister.
Wow.
Because there's nothing that fucking serious that I need to, like, you know, alienate her and not ever speak to her again. Yes, we've had, like, we have a lot of drama in our family and we've had a lot of issues over the years, but I was like, if you died tomorrow, I would be devastated, you know? So
absolutely. So are you and your sister talking again?
Yeah, we actually are on speaking terms.
Oh, wow. Oh,
we are good. Like working on like building a friendship.
Yeah. Wow. So are we going to see any of that on the show? Do we touch on what happened between you and your sister?
A little. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, then we'll stay tuned for that. I don't want to make you, you know, I don't want to get you too emotional today, but.
Oh, no, you're fine.
Well, at the same time that all of this is going on with Carl, things are escalating between Amanda and Hannah. And there's this moment where Kyle basically warns you about getting too close to Hannah. So what did you think about that?
Well, I was like, that's more of a dig at me. Like, you're trying to like shade my judgment. Like, that's not a dig at Hannah. That's a dig at me. So I was just kind of like, get the fuck out of here.
Well, with the whole Amanda and Hannah situation, it started off with a conversation about, you know, Hannah's not taking out the trash enough, and Kyle confronts her about it. And then all of a sudden it becomes about Kyle and Amanda's relationship, and Hannah storms off, and I think there's a glass thrown or whatever. So talk about how that drama escalated the night before and then carried over onto this day.
I mean, tension was tough. Yeah, that fight, I remember like walking away initially because I was like, this is about trash. Obviously it's not about trash, but like this was supposed to be about trash or like like chores in the house. I mean,
right.
Yeah, I always think whenever there's like a superficial item to argue about, there's always like this underlying deeper thing, and that's definitely what happened. I mean, obviously Hannah feels some type of way about the relationship and the way that Kyle does speak to Amanda, but it's at the same time, it's like, if Amanda, you know, was okay with that, then we need to be too. Like,
right. After all this time, it seems like the two of them are getting married.
Right.
It's, you know, it is what it is. So we got to accept it.
Right.
Well, it's also Lindsay's birthday, and Luke sends her flowers, which is very sweet, but he also sends you some flowers, and it kind of seems like it was a move to win you over again, but did it work?
No. I'm not gonna lie, I love flowers. Love flowers. He did a very good job. He even got like hydrangeas, which are my favorite. But like, I'm not like a grand gesture type of person. Like, they're cool. It's cool and all when you've been consistent and like you're not trying to make up for whatever you fucked up. So I mean, thank you for the flowers. They're gonna look amazing on my nightstand, but it didn't necessarily change anything.
Right, right. Well, we do see you guys have a conversation, and you mentioned to him that you didn't like the way he spoke to Hannah, the way he was yelling at her. Have you seen him lose his cool like that before, or was this you seeing a new side to him?
This was me seeing a new side to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it definitely rubs me the wrong way. I mean, like, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be with any guy that is yelling at another female like that. I don't give a shit what the reason is. No.
Right. Is it safe to say at this point you have totally friend-zoned him?
Potentially. Yeah.
Okay. And what about you and Hannah? How is your friendship with her today?
Me and Hannah have a good relationship. I love that girl. We FaceTime, you know, not every week, but like we definitely keep in touch, and we're either sending each other cat videos and stuff. Like, I'm sending her pictures of Jasper, or I'm getting videos of Butter and whatever dog her and Des have that week. Like,
that's a good friendship. Yeah. That's all friendship needs to be, right? It's just cat videos.
Low maintenance, but like whenever we talk, we catch up on our life. And
well, the episode ends with a bit of drama. You know, Lindsay seems kind of underwhelmed by her birthday dinner. That causes some issues. And Stravi ultimately leaves the house. So what was going through your mind as all of this was unfolding?
Well, I was pissed because I just helped him set all that shit up. And then he leaves. I'm like, what is going on? Yeah, I mean, when girls leave during an argument, we're definitely coming back for a dramatic effect. So like, he didn't even come back. So I was really shocked. And then he took an Uber. And then we were like looking up how much an Uber costs from like the Hamptons to the city. And I'm like, wow, are you serious? As a heart.
Yeah, that can't be cheap.
Right. Yeah. I think it was like $270 something. Yeah.
Damn. I know. Might as well fly.
I was like, you are committed to this. Wow. I was like, I don't think I would have saw that price and been like, okay, maybe not.
I'll stay one more night.
I'll stay one more night. But yeah, I mean, we were just insanely confused.
Well, do you think either one of them was being unreasonable, one more so than the other?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say because, I mean, I feel like we obviously hear a lot of like Lindsay's side of the story. So, and then Stravi doesn't necessarily talk about his feelings, so it's kind of hard to gauge like what he's thinking, what he's feeling. But I mean, yeah, actually, I don't know.
You're like, I don't know. He left the house. She's still there. Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm new here. I'm just watching.
Watching this all unfold. They were an interesting couple.
Well, Sierra, thank you so much for chatting with us today. This has been so fun. I'm so excited to watch the rest of this season. Well, thanks, Sierra. It was great talking to you.
Thank you so much. I thank you guys for having me.
We always wrap up our episodes with a rose and thorn. So basically your high of the week and your low of the week. So I'll give you a second to think about it and I will share my rose. So in this episode, we'll have an interview with Sierra from Summer House. And my rose is the fact that she reconnected with her sister after Carl lost his brother. So in this episode this week, we do see Carl dealing with the loss of his brother. And at the time, Sierra said that she didn't have a very good relationship with her own sister. And it really made her step back and reevaluate that relationship and how important it was to her to reconnect and rekindle that. So I'm just glad that the two of them were able to come back to that kind of place. You know, even though it came out of such a tragic situation, it's good to know that there's some positivity that came out of it all.
That's beautiful. Reconnecting with your sister and your family. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You've got good high and low. It's funny because growing up, my family and I, when we would have lunch, we have dinner at the end of our school day at the table with my mom and dad, they would always say like, what's your high and what's your low of the day?
Oh, really?
So this is pretty cool.
Oh, wow. Okay. So what
yeah,
would
it be like of the day, you know, like during the week.
Yeah.
So my high and my low for this week from the show.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. It can be from the show. It could be something else too, whatever you want, but from the show would be good.
Okay. Okay. So my high for this week would be my confessional. As you know, I've been a friend to the show for a long time. And this is my first season actually getting a confessional. So it made me feel like I was worth something and I brought something to this friend group. So this being my second confessional, it really is a high for me and I don't take it for granted. So that's my high.
Oh, I love that.
My low of the week would be yeah, me too. I get to actually speak on shit, you know. But my low of the week, I would have to say it would be Candy, kind of just, I don't want to say throwing Portia on the bus, but just kind of speaking on the events of the bachelorette party when this entire time she'd been pretty neutral on it. And that was my low because I'm a friend of both of these ladies. And I was so excited to see them both back on the same page and rekindling that friendship. We were having fun together again. And now I'm just really nervous that this is going to take us back like 5-10 steps, you know?
Were you referring to Candy talking to Don Juan, or was it something Candy said in her confessional?
Yeah. Yeah, when Candy was speaking to Don Juan, she was just saying, and I didn't even say the noises I heard. And then she also said, oh, and, you know, well, they made little jokes about it. Like,
yeah.
Bolo knows Portia for real. It's what Don Juan said. And then Candy said, it's Tanya time. And then Candy also said, what really put the nail in the coffin was Candy saying, I'm not going to call Kenya a liar.
Mm.
Listen, I ain't want to tell them that I heard that news. Let's just say, I wouldn't say that Kenya was lying.
And for me, it's like, if you're not going to call her a liar, then that means she's telling the truth. And wow, okay, great. I thought you were going to just be neutral and keep it at what happens in a dungeon stays in a dungeon. And that's not really what's happening right now. So that was okay. My low.
No, that makes total sense. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I'm thinking of that scene now too. And you're right. It didn't stay as neutral as Candy has been for most of the season so far. So yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's been very neutral. So that was disappointing. And I just hope that it doesn't affect their friendship.
Yeah, right. Because like you said, that, you know, talking about you and Portia rebuilding what you had, you know, Candy and Portia have come a long way from what happened. Yes. And so hopefully that doesn't set them back any further.
And then can you imagine how awkward it was just being friends with both of them when they were at odds with the whole Phaedra beef?
No.
So now it's like, damn, like, I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to go back. I want to continue to move forward and like have them continue to be friends. And yeah.
Oh, right. Oh, right. You're like, here we go again.
Yes, here we go again.
Well, my low of the week was, I'm going to give it to Below Deck Sailing Yacht. It premiered this week, which is super exciting. But there is the first mate on the show. His name is Gary, and he has this really long hair, and it's like, mm-hmm. he calls it his lion's mane, but it really is giving me like Kevin Sorbo from the 90s. You remember like Hercules, you know, like it doesn't really work for me. Yeah. Like you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's not for me. So he's going to get my thorn.
Like, that is a low. That's like me going and cutting my hair into a mullet. No thanks.
No thank you. Well, awesome. This has been so much fun. Thank you so much, Shamia, for coming on the show. You are welcome back anytime.
Me too. I enjoyed it.
Oh great.
Oh my god, I would love to come back. Let's do this like every week.
Oh my god, please.
This is so much fun. You're always so much fun anyway though.
Oh thank you, Shamia. All right, well, we'll talk to you soon then.
All right.
And you know, I can't wait to see the rest of this season.
We'll chat soon. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Yeah. Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.